This morning, we continue on in our journey through the Gospel of Matthew to a very familiar story. I probably don't even really need to preach this morning because any one of you has had experience enough that you could probably do as good a job as I can with this passage. But you're stuck with me, so that's just the way it is. We're reading from Matthew chapter 8, starting at the 23rd verse. Then Jesus got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Have you ever been afraid? I suppose most of us have been. I think some of us carry fear with us, right underneath the surface. And we do real well until something disrupts us a little bit and all of a sudden that fear kicks in. For some of us, the fear comes from being out of control. As long as our world is ordered and nothing unusual happens, we look like a tower of strength and faith. But let one thing change, and all of a sudden all those fears come out. Some of us have to live with fear every day. Perhaps we have a dangerous occupation. Farming, for instance. One of the most basic occupations, and yet one of the most dangerous. There's always a possibility that something could happen. Another occupation that I don't suppose applies to any of us is astronaut. I mention astronaut because Tammy and I were kind of tired after moving Matt in yesterday, and we sat down and after they hooked up his TV, we were watching. He gets a Movieplex channel where he gets movies with no commercials in. That's kind of nice. They had Apollo 13 on. I love the part in the movie where he flips the switch and the camera takes you back through all the wiring and it shows the spark and all of a sudden, boom. And the guy who flipped the switch says, "I think we have a problem." And the guy from Mission Control says he's watching all his instrument panels go crazy and he's saying, "You want to repeat that last transmission?" And those famous words, "Houston, we have a problem." On the surface, through most of that movie, Mission Control and the astronauts are as steady as a rock, but you know that they are staring terror in the face. Mission Control is looking at fear because they realize what's at stake. And the astronauts, for the most part, try not to think about it, but they know. On every mission, fear is a constant companion. Any of a million things could go wrong. And when you try to come back to Earth, you've heard them talk about that little window, that little angle they have to hit. If the Earth was a basketball and the moon was a softball and they were 14 feet apart, you'd have to hit a window the thickness of a piece of paper. And they're flying without computers. It's bad enough any time. But under those conditions, I can't imagine the fear that those astronauts had to deal with. Of course, the story turned out okay. in that case, others weren't so lucky. But fear is a part of our lives. We live in an imperfect world. And at any moment, the imperfection of this world can make itself known. Fear makes us do many things. It makes us lie. Makes us cheat. Drives us to steal. Funny thing about fear, we can be afraid of losing someone that we love, and so what does our fear do? It makes us push them away. So that the very thing we fear, we're actually encouraging to take place. For some of us, fear is so hard to live with that we voluntarily trade away our freedom for the fear of what might happen to us if we were to exercise our freedom, or if in the midst of freedom something unexpected were to happen. Our country's living in fear. I think all of the recent weather catastrophes has just heightened that fear. We want someone to take care of us. That's a dangerous place to be. Because a person who's experiencing fear and looking for someone to take care of them may very likely pick the wrong person or the wrong source of comfort and security. Many people get married right out of high school because they're afraid of living alone. Their fear leads them to make choices based on their immaturity and their fear. And as a result, instead of spending a lifetime dealing with fear, they spend a lifetime dealing perhaps with disappointment or broken dreams. Fear is a lot like money or the love of money. You know that verse in Timothy? It says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. In other words, the love of money, the lust for money, will drive us to do all kinds of evil things. Fear is like that. Most of the time we don't even know that it's fear that's motivating us. But it will lead us to do any kind of evil that you can imagine. The problem with fear is that fear leads us to expect the worst and to wonder what will happen to us if the worst happens and how will we ever survive. The disciples were afraid. In today's lesson, they were terrified. And there's one fact that we often overlook as we study this story. They had every right to be afraid. The Sea of Galilee is a rather unique geological thing. It sits 600 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by mountains with ridges and valleys. Now, being so low, it pools the air down into it. And if you've ever been walking between two buildings on a somewhat windy day, you know what can happen. It doesn't have to be a very windy day, and you'll feel quite a breeze as you walk between those buildings. When Matthew was in Rochester, the first 3 years he was there, he lived in the dorms. And the dorms are set up in a quad, and they're set up here and here and here. And there's a channel between the dorms. It doesn't have to be windy. And when you're walking from dorm to dorm, you have to hold your hand on your hat or it'll blow away. Matthew told us one time, he said, yeah, it's kind of crazy, but the engineer who designed that part of the campus designed it on a model that was meant for Alabama, where they have a lot of humidity and heat and stillness in the summertime. And it was designed to take what breezes there were and magnify them so that it would always be cool as you were walking between the buildings. The problem is, Rochester is very close to Lake Ontario. While that's not as low as the Sea of Galilee, it still draws a lot of breezes to it. It's always windy in Rochester. You add to that a design that's meant to magnify those breezes, and especially in the wintertime, it can get pretty windy as you walk from building to building. That's the way the Sea of Galilee is. The valleys in those mountains that surround the lake are steep and deep. And as the wind flows around the mountains, it collects in those valleys and runs down into the sea. And a storm can build up just like that. In fact, the word that some of the gospel writers use for that storm was a tempest. Some of them describe it as though the earth is shaking. The winds get violent very quickly. Now, the disciples knew that because most, if not all of them, were fishermen. They were used to being on the Sea of Galilee. They knew about the random storms that could come up at any moment. They live with it. Doesn't mean they're not afraid. Have you ever seen the TV series Deadliest Catch? They call it Deadliest Catch because per person, more fishermen die catching crabs than perhaps in any other occupation per person. I watched that. I don't know why. I have two great fears. One of them is to be in a burning house, and the other is to drown. And yet I watched that, crab ships as they go out in the Bering Sea, and the waves are coming up over and almost wash the guys off of the deck. And I say to myself, thank you, God, I'm not a fisherman. I'm sitting in a nice, cozy living room. But as the camera catches the faces of those fishermen, every now and then, not always, but every now and then, when the winds are especially high or when they're radio is talking about typhoon warnings or something like that. Every now and then, even in the captain sitting up in his enclosed cabin, steering the ship, you catch it. Maybe just in the corner of the eye, you catch it. Sometimes it's right there on their face. It's terror. This is what we live with, but most of the time, we push it down. We're not facing it. We're not staring it right in the face, but sometimes we do. And when they do, the greenhorns, the ones who signed up for the first time that trip, some of them can't take it. They have to go down below. And I can't imagine the terror they go through down below, because they realize, I'm not really getting away from anything. The storm could easily capsize the boat. And then maybe on one year's episode, they'll talk about another fishing boat that they're not covering that got capsized in the Bering Sea, and the Coast Guard has to go out and do a rescue. And sometimes they find the men, and sometimes they don't. And sometimes till they find them, it's too late anyway. Fishermen know terror. They live with fear, and they work with fear. And most of the time, what they are afraid of doesn't really happen. But sometimes, it does. Fear leads us to expect the worst and to wonder what will happen to us. How will we survive? For the disciples, the worst that could happen looked like it was very likely to happen. They could die at sea. Jesus, he's no fisherman. He's from Nazareth. Nazareth's what, 15, 20 miles away from the Sea of Galilee. He's a carpenter. He's not a fisherman. But he's not afraid. He's asleep. I know people like that. As long as they fall asleep before the storm comes, Nothing wakes them up. There could be an earthquake. There could be a hurricane go through. The end of the world could come. They're not waking up for nothing. So there's Jesus in the front of the boat, asleep. So the disciples, real nice guy. What do? They wake him up. Hey, if we're going to be terrified, you're going to be terrified too. I don't know, when I was watching Apollo 13, they got to a certain point in the movie where they said, now, this might happen, and if it happens, we can't bring him back. Should we tell the astronauts there's a possibility? The head of mission control said, can we do anything about it? No. Well, then they don't need to know. The disciples weren't so kind to Jesus. They woke him up. And in one of the gospel accounts, they say to him, don't you care that we're about to drown? In Matthew's account, they simply say, Lord, save us. We're about to drown. And we all know how the story ends up. Jesus calls them little faith. Now, little faith, think of the word little with a hyphen and the word faith. Little faith. It's a word that he may have coined just for that occasion. One word in Greek, little faith, means somebody who doesn't have much faith. You little faith, why are you so afraid? Some people say that Jesus was making fun of the disciples by calling them little faith. I would love to hear Jesus call me a little faith. I'd love to hear him say to me, little faith, why are you afraid about Megan living in D.C.? You little faith, why are you so afraid about what Matthew's going to encounter in Wayne? I'd love it if Jesus would call me a little faith, because you know what? He says it only takes a little faith to be saved. A faith the size of a grain of mustard seed is all it takes. The disciples, perhaps with this incident in their mind, say to him, Jesus, Master, increase our faith, because we are little faith. Jesus says, don't worry about it. I know the level of your faith. What you need to realize is that even if you have just a little, you have enough. Because it's not your faith that will save you. Who your faith is in. Jesus got up. He rebuked the winds and the waves. The winds and the waves obeyed. I picture Sig Hansen in the cabin of the Northwestern in the Bering Sea, in the midst of a huge cyclone, hurricane, waves crashing over the boat. And I see the terror in his eyes as he realizes we got to be careful here, or the sea might take us. And I just wonder, if I kept looking in his eyes, I wonder what I would see if all of a sudden the seas were calm, smooth as glass, sun shining, clouds gone. Would I see relief? I don't think so. I think what I would see is a different kind of terror. What just happened? Who did that? How did that happen? Matthew tells us that after the sea grew calm and the wind stopped, the disciples were amazed. That's a poor choice of words. Maybe the King James is better. It says the men marveled. Remember a few weeks ago after the Sermon on the Mount, we read about how the people were amazed at his teaching. And I said the word isn't really amazed, it's more astounded. Amazed is one thing. Being astounded, that's something more. It's that same word that's used here. They were astounded. And they didn't ask Jesus. They asked each other, They asked themselves, they asked the wind and the waves, what kind of man is this that you listen to him, that you obey him? They were afraid, but it was a different kind of fear. For most of us, fear will lead us to go out of control, to do things we never thought we would do before. This is a different kind of fear. Fear, as I've said before, leads us to expect the worst and wonder what will happen to us and how will we ever survive. But this kind of fear, this newfound fear of Jesus, led the disciples to realize that even if the worst were going to happen, even as the worst was happening, Jesus is greater still. The spirit that moved in him was stronger than the wind that moved across the lake, even though in Greek and Hebrew both it's the same word, wind and spirit. The power that he had at his disposal, that he had authority over, that power was greater than a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples learned an important lesson, which we need to learn and carry with us. There were times when they forgot the lesson, but it was with them. It could not be denied. Fear may lead us to expect the worst, but God is bigger than the worst that can happen to us. You've heard people say when you're in a situation and you're afraid, think to yourself, well, what's the worst that could happen? And what would I do if that happened? The disciples realized, as they thought about the worst that could possibly happen, they realized that God was bigger than the worst. And if the worst did happen, God would be stronger still. Jesus said to them they didn't need to be afraid of dying at sea, though many people did. God had a purpose for their lives, and God would protect them until that purpose was fulfilled. God has a purpose for your life. And you can be sure that even though you may not know what it is, you may just be going about your business doing the best you can, God is working in your life because you belong to him. By faith, you are joined to him. You're a part of his family. His spirit lives within you. The same spirit that rebuked the wind and the waves lives within you. You've often heard people say when they've escaped a narrow death, they've almost died and they've escaped. People will say, well, God must not be finished with you yet. Until God's purpose for your life is fulfilled, you don't need to worry. You don't need to be afraid. And you don't need to act the way fear would lead you to act. If you are in the center of God's will, if you know you belong to him, and by faith we do, because by faith we know he accepts us, not because of what we have done, not even because of the act of believing, he accepts us. He gives us his spirit so that we can believe. We are his. And we need fear nothing. Because we know, no matter what the worst is that could happen to us, God is bigger than the worst that can happen. Each of us fears something different. Some of our fears are the same. Some of our fears are unique to ourselves. There's a proverb that says, no man can share another man's joy. And the sadness in the heart of a man, nobody else can know. There are things hidden within our hearts. Some of us, there are not many things hidden because we wear them on our sleeves. But for all of us, there are some things hidden in the heart that nobody knows. Some things we don't even know. We just act according to them, and we wonder, why do we do such crazy things? God knows what's deep in the heart. His Spirit searches the inner being. He knows. And He assures us through today's passage, you need not fear. Whatever the worst may be, I, God, am bigger than the worst that can happen to you. Heavenly Father, what a joy, what a comfort to know that you are not just an image in our mind. You are not just a shadow somewhere in the heaven. As we saw written on the back of a semi on our way home, you're not just the man upstairs. You are God. You created all things. And you have power over all things. You created our lives. You gave each of us a purpose. Nothing, no circumstance, no catastrophe, not even our own ignorance can keep you from fulfilling your plan for our lives. Help us to be like the disciples and have at least a little faith, because when we believe in you, a little faith is all we need. Christ, we pray. Amen.